Good morning. I'd like to welcome those watching and worshiping remotely with us. Glad that you have tuned in to be with us. And of course, everyone that's here, it's a good day. It's a good new week, and no better place than to be right here to start it. Let's go to God in prayer before we start today's lesson. God, we just pause in this time. We ask that you would open our hearts as we open your word, that you would find whatever needs to change in our lives, that we would be willing to change, and that you would work on us, each of us individually, that you would make us more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stephanie and I watch, we've been watching a series on Netflix, and kind of a drama, and in this series, it has a number of different relationships, and you know, like shows are, or movies, they kind of draw you in with characters and decisions they're making, and so I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but I find myself, and Stephanie does too, we interact with the show. I find the characters, you know, they're about to do something dumb. They're about, you know, they're making some bad choices. And so I talk to them. I tell them, don't do that. Don't, nope, bad idea. And so we engage. It's participation type viewing for us in our house. We get loud sometimes because it's frustrating. You see people about to make a bad decision. And it, you know, it reflects what is true within each one of us, and that is within you. Don't you have a battle going on, good and bad? Don't you have a good side to you that knows good and wants to do good, and a side that is not good? It's selfish and it thinks badly and it wants to do badly, and these two war against each other. If you have that, you're not odd. You're very normal. That's being a human. And so that's our struggle, good and bad. Well, look at this passage that we've been starting with in Galatians. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we have the Spirit of God who's helping us. God didn't just say, here's what you're supposed to do, do it, and then just stand back and watch us and see if we succeed or fail. God has put His Spirit in indwelling every Christian to help us do right. So we want to be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. We want to keep in step with the Spirit. And here's the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what that looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Today we're talking about goodness. The words kind, this was even mentioned to me this morning, but I've been thinking about this week, the fact that kindness and goodness, you know, you get to those two, and it starts to kind of seems like we're saying the same word or the same thing with two different words. Kindness and goodness, oh, they do overlap some, but they also differ some. There's an aspect of goodness in which it stands for what is good. And so goodness has a little more, sometimes in the right place and time, a little more confronting what's not right, and kindness a little more mercy. But they do overlap in us being good, doing good, being kind. The word goodness also has an aspect of generosity, helpfulness, consideration. In fact, one commentator put it, productive generosity. Doing good for others, doing good things. So we'll start with Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. It doesn't say, notice that it doesn't say tolerate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. That's a 2022 American Christian policy almost, this practice of tolerate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, but it doesn't say that. It says abhor what is evil. And not to miss the fact, you know, this old saying of love the sinner, hate the sin, that is absolutely right. It's biblical. It's never changed. Love the sinner, love the person, but we don't love the sin. We abhor it. You know how to get rid of sin or resist sin in your life? You have to abhor it. If you struggle with anger and what anger produces in your life that's sinful, abhor it. If you struggle with gossip, abhor it. Despise it. If you struggle with lust, you have to abhor that. If you struggle with envy, you see what other people have and get jealous, you have to abhor that. That's not godly. Or greed, whatever sin it is that Satan tends to really draw you into, you have to abhor it. All right, Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Goodness comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It is amazing in this growing atheist population, there is a movement in our world, and especially in America, or certainly in America, a movement of a growing people who are atheists. But what's kind of interesting about it is they're not atheist and uncaring. They're still caring. They still feel like there's right and wrong, but they don't feel like it originated from God. How can that be? And the answer is God made every person in His image, and there is right and there is a moral conscience in each human being. It's not in the animal kingdom. The lion does not care about the gazelle. It will chase and kill the gazelle. That's the animal kingdom. But humans, we're not that way. God's goodness is in us, but remember, it comes from God. So here's a place where Jesus, He encounters this this man that's asking about how to have eternal life. And it says, he was setting out on his journey. A man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, and by the way, Jesus' response is kind of strange to me. It's always caught me off guard. "Why do you call me good? No one..." Well, let's stop there. Why do you call me good? That makes sense. We could get into that, why Jesus is good. Why do you call me good? Let's talk about who Jesus is. But that's not Jesus' point here. He says, no one is good except God alone. And then just goes right on with the discussion. It's kind of odd. Jesus makes a point, and then we move right on. So we don't have a lot of detail there. But, you know, having studied that, commentators seem to agree more and more that what Jesus is getting at is not the fact that He Himself is good, because He is, but because at this time in His ministry, people did not know He was God's Son. They knew He was a prophet, they knew He was rabbi, they knew He was the Messiah, but they didn't know the Messiah was going to be literally God. They didn't know that yet. And so Jesus is making a point that only God, aside from the fact that He is God, let's set that aside for a minute. Only God is good. Only God is good. Think of the most good person you know. I want to say the goodest, but I keep thinking that's wrong. The most good person you know. You know, one of those people for me is my father, which is, it is a good thing. Absolutely, it's a blessing to me, always has been. And it's also, I don't have very much excuse. I don't have a good excuse when I misbehave, because I have a very good father. But my father is not perfect. He's not perfect. And my mother is way too classy to nod her head when I said that. She's way too classy. But he's not perfect. But he's good. You think of people who are good. Norma Shiner, Linda Fitzgerald. I'll just throw out just those, just to get you thinking, but those people are not perfect. They're not perfectly good. Now see, Bob nodded his head. He's not as classy as my mother is. You're still classy, Bob, but Only God is good. See, we define good kind of, it's relative. You know, just better than some, or maybe I'm better than most, and so that's good. Only God is perfectly good. And so, this is an important scripture. God alone is good. The reason you and I can't trust our goodness or our mindset of what is good, or our opinion, excuse me, we cannot trust our opinion of what is good because our opinion changes. You change your mind. Some of you change it more often than others. And I'm not going to separate a segment or I'm not going to go any further with that. But we change our minds. Our society changes its mind. Our society said abortion is bad. No, abortion is legal. No, abortion is not legal. Well, kind of not legal. It's not here, it is here. We change our minds on what is good. And always will. And so we can't trust ourselves, but we can trust God. God is the one that goodness comes from, and He's the one that, God is the standard. He does not change. He does not change His mind. Psalm 119, this is a great psalm in Scripture, is Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. The entire psalm is about love for God's commands, which is a little bit of an odd statement, because you would think, well, we love God's mercy. We love God's grace. We love how generous God is. We love good things. God's commands, well, we have to follow those now. We have to do those. You got to do that. But to love them, this whole chapter is about loving God's commands. And verse 65 says, You have dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You ever done that? You ever gone your own way? You ever grown up being taught one thing, and then in adulthood, you figured out what you thought, how you wanted to live? I know maybe I'm supposed to do this, but I want to do this over here. I know some people don't think it's right. Grandma wouldn't approve of it, but here's what I want to do. And we do what we want, and we live a little longer, and then we find out, you know what, that really wasn't the best. That was dumb of me. It's kind of like me watching the show, Stephanie watching that show. Don't do that. That's dumb. You know, we can see it from a distance, but when it's our own life, we think, no, I want to do this. No, actually, that was dumb. I wish I hadn't done that. I should have listened to somebody. This is what we have right here. He says, before I was afflicted, and maybe the affliction is God bringing him back to repentance, but before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went my own way. But now I keep your word. Now I keep your word. He learned. I've learned, is what he's saying. I learned. I was slow, but I learned. I keep your word. You are good and do good. We're talking about goodness. He says, God, you're good. You are good. You do good. Teach me your statutes. Can you see the maturity here? There's wisdom. This is wisdom. So, do you agree that God alone is the source of good? So I want to ask you three things. The first one, that's the easiest one. Yes, God alone is the source of good. The second one, do you agree that being good is better for you? To do what God says is good, to do what God says, that is better for you. It's the best for you. Do we believe that? And if we believe that, but we still choose wrong, why are we choosing wrong if we know that what God says is better? And it is. Everything God tells us to do is better for us. Every time. Always. If I believe that, then the third question, do I want to know more about what is good? If God's the source of all that's good, and to do what God says is good is better for me, do I want to know more? That third one that one gets a little, do I want to know more? When we really understand this, we'll have the attitude of the author here, teach me, God, teach me. Why is that psalm so long? Teach me. I hunger for it. Tell me more about what's good for me. Can you see that? So why do we resist that? Is there a part of you that's resisting to know more of what you should do or to know more of what good is, to know more of what holy is? Is there a part of us that resists that? And why? Are we foolish? Do we really believe point number two, that what God says is good is the best for me? There's a breakdown somewhere, don't you think? Other than it's easier to do bad. Maybe we're just lazy, but foolish. You see how good God is? We need His teachings. We need His statutes. All right, here's one more kind of on along this line. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. How old is this book? It's old. I mean, the newest parts of it, roughly 2,000 years old. Much of it written in Greek, much of it written in Hebrew. Those languages, Greek is a dead language, what's written in Scripture. I mean, this is ancient. And the Old Testament, even more ancient than that. This is old school. This is old fashioned. And there's always a mindset, maybe of younger people, but a mindset of, I don't want to do what's old fashioned. I don't want to hear how y'all used to do it. But God says, listen, the old paths, what's right and true is always right and true. And if God is the source of goodness, how long in history do you think God's been saying to do right? God's been telling us the good path from the beginning. So yeah, that is old fashioned, isn't it? It's old because it came from God. God is old. Remember that. God is old. Well, that's so old fashioned. Well, so is God, the source of what's really good. So what happens here? We have great advice. Find the ancient paths where the good way is. Walk in that. Let's read on verse 16 and following. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set a watchman over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I'm bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words, and as for my law, they've rejected it. What does it look like when people go their own way? They don't listen to God's word. They make up their own. Do you ever hear people saying, well, you know, I tell you, the God I believe in, and then finish that sentence. Have you ever heard that statement anywhere? The God I believe in, raise your hand if you've heard that. Am I the only one that hears that? The God I believe in, do you understand what you're saying? What someone's saying by that? The God I believe in. So you tell God what's true and what's right and what's good, and then you change your mind and you update Him. How often do you have to update God? The God I believe in? How about the God that is? That God, I study His word and I try to find out what He is telling me is good. All right. Let's get into what goodness looks like. Galatians 6:10, so Paul is writing, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us do good to everyone. Does that include people I don't like? Does that include my enemies? Does that include the jerks and the, I'll just stop there. Does that include, you know, the inconsiderates? The rude people, the mean people, the cheats and the liars and the thieves, and does it include them too? Do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So this is our eternal family. This is the family that matters for eternity. And we should take care of each other. We should do good for each other. Consider the, if you're younger, consider the old ones here your spiritual grandparents. And if you're older, consider the young ones your spiritual grandchildren. And brothers and sisters and so on. This is our eternal family. And it should be especially important for us to take care of each other. Titus 2:4 talks about Jesus, and it says, He gave Himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Purify. The word purify. We have the word pure that's in Scripture oftentimes. Pure kind of overlaps with goodness, but God is leading us in a pure way. It's a right way. It's not a way without enjoyment or pleasure. It's just not Satan's version of it. It's God's version of it. And God's version is good. And it's right. And it's pure. But notice this last part. Zealous for good works. Zealous means you're passionate. You're excited. What are we passionate about? What are we excited about? Are we more excited about godly things or are we more excited about earthly things? What are we zealous for? Good works, doing good things. A number of you do good for each other at times. You know, we have certain works of goodness like tonight, Sunday night for the Master. After we decide who brought the best cobbler, and have that judged, and I may even disagree on that because I intend to have my own private. Anyway, I'm going to eat some cobbler tonight if y'all will bring some. But after we have enjoy ourselves tonight, we're going to break out into service groups and serve God. We have organized ways to serve, but then we have times and ways where you just do things for people. One person in class this morning was talking about making a cake for someone else who's sick with COVID right now, but she's disappointed because she can't take that to him right now because they can't taste or smell right now. But she's doing good. Zealous for doing good. Good works. We need to think more about how can I help someone else? What's something good I can do for someone? Who's down and how could I encourage them? Good works. Romans 12:20, Jesus said to the contrary, Paul did, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This passage is a little unique, a little obscure. I have to start with the fact that when I was young, I heard it said that this was talking about kill them with kindness, that you pour on the kindness to someone to the point that it irritates them, and it's actually kind of fun. You know, you heat burning coal, you get them irritated, but you're doing it kindly with a smile. See, but that's not what this means. The phrase heap burning coals. We understand what that means. That's not obscure, but heat burning coals on his head is somewhat obscure. And it's a little challenging to determine what that means. But I want to share from Adam Clark's commentary, because before I go any further, it does seem clear that whatever it means, it's a good thing. It's not a passive-aggressive thing. It's not a, I'm going to do right, but I'm going to kind of gouge my enemy here. And we know that because verse 21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We're talking about doing good. So Adam Clark says that this is a metaphor taken from smelting metals. The ore is put into the furnace and fire put both under and over that the metal may be liquefied and purified. So he talks about a process at a time where they would heap coals under and over a place where metal was to heat it up. And so the idea that what this is saying is do good to your enemies, hoping that it will purify them, hoping it will soften their hard heart. And people absolutely have been broken down into repentance because of the good deeds of Christians. All right, Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The world needs to see good works from Christians who know God, which is where all good comes from. The world needs to see good works in us. They need to see it. They need to see us doing good in situations that they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. They need to see us loving our enemies and take a double take and say, who does that? They need to see Christians doing good because we know where the source of goodness is. I want to share a short video with you. If you've not heard about this Little League game, this was in the Little League World Series, a game between a team from Oklahoma and the light blue. And I'll show a video clip in a minute. And I don't have so this batter, this boy that's up to bat, he gets hit by a pitch in the head. It hits his helmet and knocks his helmet off, and he drops to the ground. That's what that still pitcher is. So it'll show in slow motion. If you don't want to see that, when it starts showing slow motion, right, you close your eyes. But I want you to see, and I'll kind of talk through this. The boy's okay. Maybe I should have said that. Maybe I should have told you that up front. You see how okay he is before you see this slow motion where the ball hit his helmet. So the pitcher, what you don't see in this video is the pitcher starts crying, feels bad about it, and is just broken down. And the batter, of course, he takes a base, so he's at first base. He goes over and consoles the pitcher. He said that he told him, "You're all right. I'm all right. Let's play. Let's play." Ironically, the team in maroon, the pitcher and his team win this game in advance in this series. What's amazing about this is that kind of thing doesn't happen. Now, batters get hit by a pitch, and that's sometimes how benches clear. Do you know what that means when benches clear? That means an all-out brawl. When somebody charges the mound in baseball, you know what that means? That's not good. That's overcoming evil with evil, or what you perceive to be evil. Because sometimes, I'm not a baseball expert, but sometimes pitchers will pitch up in that area on purpose, sometimes on accident. What this batter does, you don't ever see. You don't see that. And what I love about this was he's been interviewed. I saw an interview where just days after, he had already done 20 interviews with people. Everyone wants to interview this kid. They want to talk to him. Why? Because it's so unusual what he did. It was good. And in that moment, when he goes and hugs the pitcher, the game stops. I mean, everyone forgets about the game. Forget about this World Series. Forget about it. Well, this boy that was hit in the head with the pitch, he said, "When I saw that he was getting emotional, I just went out there. I was trying to spread the love of Jesus, try to comfort him. It was just a natural reaction." Isn't that good? I don't know much about this young man. It does seem to me he has parents that are raising him to know Jesus and act like Jesus. And that's what he does. Good. That's what we need to do. We need to do more good things We need to be about good. We need to let the Spirit lead us to do what's good and let our light shine. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And it's a great song on this topic about loving people, loving one another. And so during this song, if there's something on your heart that we could pray for you about today, there may be one. We always offer the invitation, which this invitation for salvation is open 24/7. But if you're here and you're not right with God, come and let us help you be right. Be right with God. We don't know when our last breath will be. But if you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.
Love one another.